Hello and welcome to Forgotten Women, the feminist podcast that brings history to life. We're celebrating women who rebelled, protested and campaigned for social justice in 20th century Britain. So many activists, especially self-identifying women and non-binary folks, have been missed out of the history books, and we want to change that. In collaboration with Peer Productions, we are working with Bishopsgate Institute to delve into their archives to create these podcasts. Each of our episodes are recorded live in front of a studio audience, and each episode covers a different moment in modern history. This episode explores the disability campaigner and founder of MenCap, Judy Frid, alongside a snapshot of the contemporary struggles special needs mums face today. This is Forgotten Women, and we're making history. Green Class by Nina Lemon.
So, hands up if you're a mum. Yeah, me too. Let's hear it for all those women who've been given the nights off. Woo! You're cheering very emphatically there. Are you on a night out?
Yeah.
What's that?
Girls' night out.
A girls' night out, woohoo! Good for you. Can I just ask though, who's looking after your child?
Children,
what have you got?
I've got a boy and a girl.
One of each? Brilliant. Are they twins?
No.
I always think of women who manage to have mixed gender twins as terrifyingly efficient. It's like their uterus is the kind of woman who can go on holiday with a capsule wardrobe, who's finished her Christmas shopping by October, and who is one of those fridge organisers, you know, with the terribly neat handwriting and meticulously scheduled enforced fun activities. On Monday, Emily has horse riding, followed by a coding class, whilst little Bertie has African drumming and crochet for boys. Then a quick, efficient bedtime. Teeth, story, bed, mwah. Teeth, story, bed, mwah. Before Mummy spends the evening planning PTA events, whilst drowning in a vat of Pinot Grigio, desperately mourning the loss of her own autonomy as a person in her own right. But you don't have twins, so that's not your uterus. Good for you. I shouldn't have really asked that. The who's looking after your child thing? No one ever asks a man that, do they? I hate it when people ask me that. I mean, what are they expecting me to say? My children. They were here a minute ago. Oh, the kids, yes. Well, my son's off bungee jumping and my youngest is off meeting a very nice gentleman she's been chatting to online. It really is like the moment you pop out another person, whilst you gain the ability to survive without sleep, a handbag full of rice cakes, breasts that produce milk on demand, even when someone else's baby cries in Clinton cards, endless feelings of guilt and self-loathing, you lose your right to be a real person. You see, you take your kid to baby class, and the slightly deranged leader, I mean, who wouldn't be deranged? There really is only so many times that one person can wave hello to the bloody sun. Not to mention winding your sodding bobbin up. What the hell is a bobbin? And why does my four-month-old give a shit about the dingle-dangle bloody buggery scarecrow, huh? Yeah. Anyway, this woman who you pay for this so-called baby class, this is where it starts. Hello, mummy! And I'm looking over my shoulder before the sinking feeling sets in and I realise she means me. How is mummy today? They all do it. True story, the first time I took my youngest to nursery, she managed to do the most enormous and most foul poop. And I know it's a cliche that all parents talk about as poo, but this was not your run-of-the-mill baby poo, okay? This was epic. A turbo turd to end all turds. It was a river. No, a tsunami of shit. It's down her legs. It's on the car seat. It's everywhere. So I'm holding her, trying not to drip the offending feces all over my I'm back from maternity leave and I'm still capable new boots, whilst trying to get past the incredibly complicated security system. Bzzz. Hello, I've got Gabriella here. She's due to start in tadpoles today. The thing is, she's done a rather large poo. Hello, mummy. Can you stand so we can see you on the camera? Trying not to step in poo. Is that better? That's great, mummy. And can you hold Gabriella up to the camera too? Poo on my thumb, poo on my thumb, poo on my thumb. Like this? That's it, mummy. Do you have your password? definitely on the boots now, so I'm having to manoeuvre the defecator to get into the baby bag and fish out this tiny piece of paper, Pancake Valley 5729. What's that, mummy? And I'm thinking, code brown, we have a code brown, and I'm not your sodding mummy. Pancake Valley 5729. Bzz, and I'm in. And I try to avoid dripping all through the hallway, and we get to Tadpoles, and does mummy need to change you, Gabriella? I was kind of hoping that's what I was paying you for. There's been a bit of an accident. And whilst I change her nappy with a room full of childcare professionals' eyes burning into me, and I feel the last vestiges of my self-esteem being wiped away and thrown in the scented nappy sack, along with half a packet of wipes and more poo than one human child can reasonably have created, Claire gives me the induction talk. So I'm Claire, and I'm going to be Gabriella's key worker. Claire, the key worker. Got it. This is her peg where you can put her nappy bag. Peg, bag, great. This is her home school book where you can let us know what she's been up to recently. She's 10 months. What do you think she's been up to? Classical guitar, writing a novella, learning Japanese. And if there are any problems or she's distressed, we'll always call you mummy and let you know. Still, not your mummy. And if there have been any behaviours, we'll always just calmly explain to the child, still wiping poo, 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 and yet more poo. We don't use the N-word here, mummy. Sorry, what? We don't use the N-word. Well, I should hope not. I mean, does that really need to be said? You'd be surprised, mummy. So I kiss the little shit monster goodbye. That's Gabriella, by the way, not Claire the key worker. And I baby wipe my boots, and it's only when I get to work and I tell the girls in the office about my shitstorm of a morning, and they're all just looking at me. Naughty. The N-word was naughty. Oh! Yeah, that would make more sense. Before I go, let's just try a little thing, shall we? Can all the mothers stand up? Stay standing if you love your kids more than anything else in the world. Only a brave woman is sitting down at this point. Honestly, you'd be lynched. Stay standing if you've ever been kept awake all night by your child. Stay standing if you dread every birthday party invite, or if your kid's not invited at all. Stay standing if you have to fight back tears while strangers make comments and tut at your child. Stay standing if you know what it means to argue for adequate SALT, OT, and PT in your child's EHCP. Stay standing if you had to hire a lawyer or study case law yourself just to get your child the basics they need to take part. Stay standing if you spend more time talking to your kids' therapists, TAs, caseworkers than you do your own best mate. Stay standing if you lie in bed at night wondering who is going to take care of your child when you are gone. If you're still standing, you, like me, are part of an elite but rapidly growing club. It's a club that no one wants to join and no one gets to leave. You're the mum of a child with special educational needs. Welcome to the party.
Women, mothers, sisters, daughters, wives. Riots, revolutions, they're lost in time. Mothers, sisters, daughters, wives. Mothers, sisters, daughters, wives. They fought, they thrived, they died. They fought, they thrived, they died. They fought, they thrived, they died. Forgotten lives.
Welcome to this episode of Forgotten Women, a podcast exploring the women that history has pushed to the margins.
These podcasts are recorded live in front of a studio audience.
We are
Liam Beard,
Felix Behrenser,
Saoirse Doyle,
Nancy Hannigan,
William Meek,
Joshua Moore,
Charlotte Rowling,
Emma Selwyn,
Ellie Short,
Casey Smith,
Eleanor Stock,
Rosanna Weber,
and Abby Wilkinson.
This Forgotten Women episode looks at mothers.
Warrior mothers.
Mothers turned campaigners.
Mothers whose children's disabilities led them to fight for justice.
Written in tribute to the tenacious MenCap founder, Judy Frid, whose tireless campaigning led to the foundation of national charity, MenCap.
This is Green Class by Nina Lemon.
Thank you.
Bloody hell.
Windy enough for ya.
You waiting for green class?
Yeah.
Same. Bloody bitter.
Supposed to make the kids go mental, isn't it?
What?
Wind.
Yeah, I heard that.
Really?
Mine bloody loves it. Can't get enough of it.
Mine's terrified. Took three of us to get him out of the car this morning.
You all right?
Yeah. Just spent the last 2 hours trying to get through to my case officer.
Oh, you'll be bloody lucky.
I'm Beth. Tegan's mum, by the way.
Oh, right, yeah. I'm Jess. I'm Sophia's.
I'm Jane. My son's Felix.
Oh, he's just the cutest.
I'm Jacob's mum. Katie.
Oh, I think that's them coming out.
See ya.
Bye. Sophia? Sophia, wait for me. Oh, bloody buggery wind.
Bye.
Sophia, come on, this way. Yes, I know you don't like it, but please don't. No, naughty. No scratching. Okay, look. 1, 2, 3, play. And let me just tighten you up. I know. It's okay. It's okay. I'll put music on.
I'm gonna come through. You'll never be alone. I'll be there for you. I'll be there, yeah, yeah. I'll be there for you. I'll be there, yeah, yeah. I'll be there for you. Oh, I swear, yeah, yeah. I got enough love for two.
Must have been a wonderful child when you were only starting to go to kindergarten. You must have drove the little boys wild.
What's happening? Where's Judy? Is she
upstairs?
Judy?
She's here, John.
She's
our daughter is finally here.
Oh, hello. Hello, you. She's... Oh, Judy, she's wonderful.
A perfect little girl. Felicity.
Yes, our little filly. Such tiny little fingernails.
I know.
Are you...
exhausted.
Can I... how can I? Do you need...
I have everything.
Tea. Shall I get tea?
I have everything I need right here.
I love you. I love you both so much.
Are you all right?
Yeah.
You sure?
Right. I just got off the phone to my caseworker, and she's made me feel like a right prat.
At least yours answers the phone.
I have literally rung that woman every day for 2 weeks. I swear she sees my number and just puts it over to voicemail.
Did you try emailing?
Yeah, no reply. And today she's all like, Katie, we're going through a process to assess Jacob's needs, and when we have all the correct reports, you'll be able to state a preference for your school of choice. So I said, look, Naomi.
Oh, you got Naomi Brooke?
Yeah.
She's a total bitch.
I know, right? So I said, look, you're supposed to complete your assessments in a particular time frame, and you haven't. So now he's disadvantaged because school places are already being allocated and they haven't even seen his paperwork yet. And if they say he has to go mainstream...
Surely they're not going to say that. They can't. He needs more support than that.
Well, that's what I said. But she's made me out to be this completely hysterical mother. And she's like, Katie, stop ringing us. We still don't have the reports.
Yeah, but if they're going over their time frame...
She says they're short-staffed, so I just know there won't be a place for him. And I'll have to keep him at home for another year. And my mum won't be able to handle two of them. So I'll have to hand in my notice. And it's just not...
Oh, mate, come on.
I feel like such a twat.
You're not. No, it's totally understandable.
Seriously, I cry every day.
Yeah, several times usually.
I just feel really pathetic.
No, you're not pathetic. You're angry. You've got every right to feel angry. The system sucks.
Yeah.
Look, if you want, I can show you what I sent to my case officer.
Has Felix got a school place?
The Ed Psych report hasn't even arrived yet, and I put my paperwork in June.
That's ridiculous.
I was thinking, do you guys want to set up a WhatsApp group?
Yeah, definitely. We can swap tips.
If yous can part with me whinging.
I love a good moan.
How to defeat the local educational authority.
I don't need them defeated. I just want an education for my son and for someone to pick up the bloody phone. Is that really too much to ask?
Okay, put your numbers in here and I'll set it up.
Mrs. Frid, we've assessed your daughter.
Felicity.
Yes, I see here you have another child, Mrs. Frid.
Patricia.
And does Patricia present as the same as this one?
As Felicity? Well, she's only 18 months, but no, she does not seem to struggle like Philly does.
The child we've examined today...
Felicity.
I would say she is an IQ of no more than 45.
What does that mean?
As I'm sure you are aware, Mrs. Frid... This child is not the same as other children.
I know she finds things difficult.
Mrs. Frid, your daughter is mentally retarded.
So how are we going to help her?
There really is nothing we can do to help a child like this.
But she is learning. She is improving, just more slowly than other children.
I know it may seem that way if we really want it to be true. And it may appear she is like any other human child, but this child...
Felicity.
She is a child with no mind.
What?
Go home. Focus on your other child. Maybe have another baby. There is nothing more you can do for her.
Wait, so the doctor, he just wrote her off?
That was pretty much the size of it.
But she was only three.
Yes.
And he'd only met her this one time.
Yes.
Surely he can't just say that about her and then leave you to it.
That's how things were then.
Thank God they're not like that anymore.
I'm doing this as a voice message because I'm feeding Alison and I can't type at the same time. I was wondering if any of you have a pediatrician for your child? I know we saw one when he got diagnosed, but apparently that was it. She just does the diagnosis, and then you're on your own. Sorry, she's being fussy. I just don't think that sounds right, and he's really not sleeping at the moment, and I spoke to the GP receptionist, and she said if it's because of autism, then the GP can't help, and he needs a referral or something. Anyway, yeah, just wondering if any of you have a pediatrician or can tell me how to get one.
Hi, Jane. Have you got a health visitor? Because she's the one who helped me see a pediatrician about Sophia. So yeah, maybe speak to your health visitor.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you've got a social worker involved, they may be able to help. If not, you can speak to your GP on the phone for a referral. You don't need to take him in.
Yeah, don't listen to that dopey receptionist. Get your GP on the phone and make him do a referral. They can't just leave you hanging.
Philly? Felicity? Sit down here. No, not there, here. There's a good girl. I'm going to show you your letters. Look, I've got pencil and I've got paper. Look, I'm writing a letter. Which letter is it? Look, Philly, it's the letter A. A, A, A. Philly, let's trace it with your finger. Let me help you. A. Is that funny, Philly? Sit down now. Am I being funny? Shall we do it again?
No.
A, A. Can you say ah, Philly? You want to trace the letter again? Okay. Sit down now. No, sit on the chair. Ah. Well done, Philly. Good girl. Now let's do a B, shall we? A big ba, 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 B. No, Philly, sit down now. No? All right, it's all right. Is lesson time finished? All right, yes. Okay, let me get the door open. I know, I know. Here. Careful now. Garden time.
Mm.
ladies. I know we were all talking about the pegs thing. Well, I really didn't think Felix was getting it at all. He didn't even look at the... And then this morning, he was being really stroppy, and I couldn't work out what was wrong with him, and he threw his juice everywhere, and I was just, you know, I didn't know what he wanted. And then he actually went and got the picture for toast and the picture for jam and gave me them. I couldn't believe it. I was so excited. I let him have 5 slices.
Jane, that's brilliant.
Wow. Well done, Felix.
I can't believe I'm actually crying over jam.
Mate, I'm crying and he ain't even my kid.
Thanks, guys. I'll see you at the gate.
Mrs. Hawthorne, you were aware of Felicity's circumstances before you admitted her to your school.
I am sorry, Mrs. Frid, but as I'm sure you are very aware, Felicity's behaviour is just so unpredictable.
But this is a school for children with problems like hers. Surely she cannot be the first child to be willful.
This is more than being willful, Mrs. Frid. She is uncontrollable, weeping and wailing all of the time, refusing to sit and take part in class. She's violent. It's not fair on the other children.
Please, Mrs. Hawthorne. She's only been at the school for one day. Surely she needs time to acclimatise to her new regime.
I'm sorry, Mrs. Frid, but this school cannot accommodate a child with such extreme behaviour. Keeping her here for any longer will only prolong the problem.
But she needs to go to school.
Perhaps a residential setting would be
no!
more...
No!
Mrs. Frid, in my professional opinion, she is uneducable.
But she knows her letters and her shapes and she just adores music. Please.
Please fetch your daughter from the classroom and do not bring her back.
They sent her home after just one day.
Just a few hours, really.
That's just not fair. She hardly had a chance to show what she could do.
That wasn't the first school to reject her. It became something of a pattern.
She's saying they won't even come out to assess him. They'll just look at the paperwork. How am I supposed to prove that they can't meet his needs if they haven't even laid eyes on him?
Who have you spoken to?
Your friend and mine.
Ugh, I don't even get it. How is she qualified to say?
She's not. She's just the administrator. She just collates what everyone else says. It's a cut and paste job.
Seriously?
I swear to God, mine's got some other kids reporting it. It says something about hiding under chairs. I've never seen Tegan do that. Stand on chairs, definitely, but not so much under.
Oh, that's probably mine. Felix does that.
Completely incompetent.
Do you think they've actually put his report in Tegan's plan?
I wouldn't put it past them. I'll screenshot it and put it in the group.
Are you going to complain?
Yeah, I will when I get a moment. I'm just so shattered at the moment.
No sleep.
She was up from 1 till 5 and now she's grouchy for nursery.
Did you ever get your paediatrician appointment?
We're waiting for the referral.
Oh, bloody hell.
I don't know. I'm not sure, but I think Philly might want you to play the piano, Judy.
Reading first, then piano.
Oh, please play. We want you to play piano.
Philly needs to do her letters first.
But...
Look, you know you do your reading at school... Well, Philly doesn't go to school, so we need to do her letters here. Why don't you and Dad go and get your brother and sister, and then I'll play the piano when Philly has finished her letters. Sit down, Philly. Sit here. Good girl. OK, what's this? Ka.
Ka-a-ta-cat.
Good. And this?
Da-o-ga-dog.
Good girl. Just a couple more. This one.
Fa-o-ox. Fox. Ra-a-ta-rat.
Excellent. Does Philly want music?
Does Philly want music?
Yes, hold your horses.
Hold your horses. Does Philly want music?
She's playing. She's playing. Come on, Daddy.
That's it, Philly. Dance to the music.
Philly, dance to the music. Philly, dance to the music.
What next, Philly?
What next, Philly? Brahms' lullaby.
Brahms' lullaby it is.
No more music, Philly. Mum's tired.
More music, Philly. Strauss Blue Danube.
But we need to make dinner now. Music later.
More music, Philly. More music, Philly.
Come on,
more
Philly.
More music, Philly.
Not another aria, Philly, please.
I'm Felicity Frid, and I was born in January 1938, the first child to parents Judy and John. My parents loved me. When I was around three, my parents became concerned, as I wasn't able to communicate like other children. If I was born now, we would almost certainly have described me as autistic. With doctors and schools offering our family no help at all, Judy and John struggled to know how to manage my behaviour. I would scream and shout, try and escape and lash out. The Maori word for autism is takiwatanga. It means in her own time and space. In the future, people will refer to autistic kids as trapped in their own worlds. And I was trapped. I was trapped in a world that didn't know how to meet my needs. But Judy and John were trapped too. Trapped in an isolated world where no one seemed to understand what it was like to have a daughter like me. That's why my mum Judy wrote the letter to Nursery World magazine back in 1946.
That's it, Philly. Nice and calm now. Why don't you and I go for a little walk?
It seems to me these schools are only to take the most dull and submissive children, such as Mongols, and girls or boys like mine, who are backward on account of birth injury, which affects their social responses, while not necessarily dulling their intelligence or educability, are not catered for. Out of my experiences in trying to get some help for my child, and the other cases I have read about, I have resolved to form an association of parents of backward children. And I should be glad if Mrs. E, Martha, and any other readers who may be interested would communicate with me.
She actually called it an association of parents of backward children.
I know.
Wow.
I know it sounds bad to you, but those were the words we had back then. She used what we had. She took back the words used by doctors and gave them to parents so that they could come together to try and help their children.
Dear Judy.
Dearest Mrs. Frid.
Dear Judy.
I was interested to read your letter.
Your letter struck a chord with me.
My daughter.
My son.
Our child.
We really feel so out of our depth.
We are at a loss as to know how to help him.
The outbursts are just so unpredictable that we have retreated into our home in fear leaving the house.
And they kept arriving.
Mrs. Frid.
Dearest Judy.
Please, can you offer us any advice?
Our dear boy was such a bright baby, but lately he doesn't seem to look at us anymore and he's not talking and
the local school have washed their hands of us.
And I see the other mothers staring and I just don't know what I'm doing wrong.
We're afraid for their future.
We feel so alone.
She received over 1,000 letters.
Dear Judy.
Mrs. Frid.
To Judy.
Judy Frid.
Judy Frid.
Judy Frid.
And she resolved to answer every one.
Dear Mrs. Archer, I was sorry to hear of the challenges you are facing with young Joan. Dear Mabel, your child's seizures really do need to be seen by a medical... Dear Amy, I understand the difficulties you are facing with your daughter. Our daughter too can be... Dear Ruby, is there a neighbour or a grandparent who might watch your child so you can get some much needed... Dear Winnie,
Your grandchild's condition is in no way a reflection on your parenting of his father, nor is it...
And not only did she reply, but she started to put people in touch with each other.
Mrs. White, I see that you are in Sussex, and I have received a very similar letter from a Mrs. Campbell in Brighton. You both have sons of similar age, and it seems both boys struggle to make friends with similar interests. Perhaps if you were able to meet up, they could be companions for each other. Dear Marion, just yesterday I received a letter from another parent in the Glamorgan area, and she seems to have hit upon an excellent way to help her child to try different foods. She has kindly agreed to write to you to share her good news.
That's when it started. Parents came together and little groups popped up in different areas because together they were stronger.
Hi everyone. I hope you're having a better weekend than I am. I just took Sophia to that imaginary play, soft play place, and it was horrendous.
Too many kids.
Yeah, it was heaving, Beth. I wish I'd never gone. And she was, you know, she was, well, being her and... Oh, God, it wasn't even the other kids. It was the other parents. They just kept tutting because she was, like, mouthing the balls in the ball pit. And I just don't understand. It's really obvious she's got additional needs, but they just looked at me like I was scum. And I think she just found the whole thing really overwhelming.
Yeah, we've given up going to places like that. It's always the parents.
Oh, Jess, mate, I'm so sorry that happened.
Jacob, don't do that! That's not yours! Hang on. Okay, calm down. Stop that!
Sorry, guys. Jacob's just was trying to take his sister's... Anyway, what arseholes. It just makes me so angry. This is one of the reasons I don't want Jacob go mainstream. At least here everyone gets it. Everyone's in the same boat.
It's not so much soft play, but sometimes we go to Mencap Place, where they have sensory rooms and toys and stuff. I think the next one's next Sunday. I'll post a link.
Thanks, Beth. I'll check it out.
It's not your fault, dear.
I can't believe she got that far. I only turned my back for a second.
You can't have your eyes on her 24 hours a day.
But she was on the railway line, John. Anything could have happened.
But it didn't. She's fine. She's safe and sound.
But what if she wasn't?
We'll just have to put more locks on the doors and be more vigilant.
I don't think that will be enough. She needs to be safe. She needs to be properly secure. I'll just never forgive myself if... Oh, John.
Look, I'll make some inquiries. Perhaps we can find a good place for her during the week to give you a break. And then at weekends we can both be here for her. Come on. I love you. I love you all so much.
Hi, ladies. I was just wondering if any of you could help me. I've dropped Jacob off, and we was late because I had to stop three times because he kept getting his arms out of his car seatbelt and grabbing the back of my head while I'm trying to drive. And so I'm having to pull over and stop and put him back again. And then the moment I start driving, he gets out again. I just feel so terrible. I don't know how to keep him safe.
Katie, don't feel terrible. Tegan does that too. What I do, and I've no idea if this is right, but I zip up her hoodie over the strap so she can't get her arms out. She hates it, but she definitely hasn't been able to get out yet.
I was going to say, for Felix, I put his coat on backwards over him to keep him warm and do the popper behind him. That keeps him in and he doesn't seem to mind it.
Well, you lot are way more inventive than I am. I bought this clip thing online. It keeps the straps together across her chest and that stops her from getting out. She actually stops trying to get out because she knows she can't get out.
Was that expensive, Jess?
I can't remember. Less than a tenner? I'll post a link.
Thanks, ladies. I'll try the zip up over the belt trick as a short-term fix, and I'll definitely be ordering one of them clip things. You all have a nice day, yeah? See yous at pickup.
So whilst I was moved into hospitals for my own safety, Mum never gave up fighting for the rights of people like me.
Wait a second, you went into an institution?
Yes. From when I was 12, I lived in several secure hospitals and institutions before I died at 55.
But that's...
That's terrible. I just can't believe that's what happened to you.
I can't believe that's what your parents...
There were no other options. My parents loved me, but they had no help, and they were terrified that something horrible would happen to me. Mum never gave up. She edited the Parents' Voice magazine, which offered a lifeline to parents of children with special educational needs. The organisation she founded, which later became the National Society for Mentally Handicapped Children, before being renamed as MenCap, continues to fight for disabled people's rights.
But surely there must have been another way.
If you think things are hard now, you can't imagine what attitudes were like when I was growing up. Here's Alderman Dingley. He was the chairman of the Mental Health Committee of the Association Hospital Management Committee, whose suggestions to the 1957 Royal Commission forced my mum and other parents to fight even harder.
The current circumstances for mentally deficient babies and their parents is impossibly cruel. If you have given birth to a defective child, you shall bear the whole burden of care until it grows older. And when you have grown to love it, we will take it away from you and put it into an institution.
Instead, he advocated that...
For the parents to appeal to a panel of people, both lay and medical, for euthanasia or merciful death for their child.
What?
But that's inhumane.
Mum felt the same. And she dedicated her life to educating him and others like him.
Firstly, it is impossible to make a reliable diagnosis, much less a certain prognosis on a very young baby, though more may be pointers to the fact that a child may need special care. Often those who look want turn out to be highly intelligent and live useful and fruitful lives, whereas many picture book babies prove to be seriously handicapped in later life. Secondly, we need more research into these various conditions and into which educational and therapeutic interventions can allow these children to lead full and happy lives.
During this time, many children like me were sent to live in residential institutions. My mum was adamant that we were all unique and should be treated as individuals.
Some children settle happily in institutions. Others are better in a place where more individual attention can be given. Others, again, would be far better living in their own homes and attending schools daily. We believe that there should be a real freedom of choice in the matter. The criterion should be what suits this particular child and his family, not the length of the parent's pocket or the generosity or otherwise of the local authority. So far as the parents are concerned, we are all faced with the problem of what is to become of our children, and we each have to make up our own minds after weighing the pros and cons. The trouble is that the parents without money have no real choice. For them, it's institution or nothing. The more fortunate can choose a small home if they think it is the best place for their particular child.
And my mum, Judy, she just kept on fighting.
Let the minister be bold and make the mental health services a national responsibility. Let us have the equivalent of a military operation to tackle this problem. For it is not beyond the wit and resources of this great nation to solve the problem. The less a child could give itself, the more other people had to give it. It was an act of wisdom and not charity.
She argued that those looking after us should be professional and should treat us with respect.
Nursing recruits should learn that mental nursing is no less a vocation than general nursing, and that the mental ward no less than the general ward. Parents of prospective nurses should ponder long and deeply before they say a word to dissuade their own child from adopting mental nursing as a profession.
She fought for money and resources to ensure that we were cared for as effectively as possible.
There is absolutely no excuse for cruel and thoughtless neglect of elementary hygiene and comfort. One family in every 100 has a mentally handicapped child. 44% of all our hospital patients are in mental or mentally deficient hospitals. The public must realise that the mental million allocated by the Minister of Health for expansion of the mental health services is grossly inadequate. Our children, though they have but a limited value as economic units, are infinitely valuable to God. They have human feelings and rights in common with all other human beings. We ask for them respect and justice.
My mum believed that all children deserved an education. After over 20 years of lobbying, letter writing and meetings, the Education Handicapped Children Act of 1970 was finally passed. This meant that local education authorities, not the health authority, were responsible for disabled children's education, and people like me were no longer classed as uneducable.
I don't think I'm going to get through this.
Don't worry, I've got tissues.
I just can't believe it's been a whole year.
Apparently, they're all going to get certificates.
Sophia will probably eat hers.
They have come a long way, though.
I know. Now they're all going to be split up.
We've spent all year desperately trying to get them into places that we think can actually help them.
Yeah, I know, but now I have to make new friends.
You'd better not be ditching us just because they're going to different schools.
Yeah, you don't get rid of us that easily.
Are you kidding? Without you lot, I think I'd have lost it.
Did you ever have it?
Oi.
Seriously, though, thanks for being there. I couldn't have done it without yous.
So let's have a great big shout out for all the special need mums in the room. And I have to be honest, ladies, whoever it is writing us, they're telling the wrong stories. They just don't get us at all. Everyone is too busy seeing what our children can't do that they miss out on the laughter, the joy, the overwhelming love that having children like ours not only allows us to give, but also receive. Let's be clear, we all know that our kids aren't the problem. Yes, they're frustrating at times, but what kids aren't? Oh, no, no, no. The problem is other people and their attitudes to our children. So here's my top five ridiculous comments and my real, suggested, and wish I'd thought of it at the time, rebuttals. Number five. Okay, so this one isn't so bad. I was out swimming with my kid and we're having a brilliant time. And this woman comes over and says, "What she got?" So I said, "A sense of humour." And that was naughty, really, because at least she asked and didn't just stare or avoid us or make rude comments. But she still spoke about her and not to her and decided for whatever misguided, well-intentioned reason to get all up in our business. In at four, and I've heard this so many times, I don't know how you do it. I wouldn't be able to cope if it were me. I think you're amazing. And this one totally sticks in my craw because it really is a backhanded compliment. It misses the point. It suggests that raising kids like ours is an unimaginable hardship. I mean, what are they implying? What's the alternative? Oh, I did think about popping her in with this bag of discarded kittens and tossing her into the river. But in the end, I decided to keep her. My family is not to be coped with, but to be celebrated. And I know it's people trying to be nice and trying to show their admiration for my, frankly, excellent parenting. But unless you're going to offer me what almost all special needs mums want more than anything else in the world, an uninterrupted night's sleep, then can you please take your fake compliments and feigned sympathy and stick it up your ass, you patronising shit? At three, and this one is a humdinger. But they don't look disabled. Oh yeah, and you can also add to this one, at least they're good looking. I was actually told that by a paediatrician, and what a shame, she would have been lovely. Would have been. Sorry, I think I just sicked up a little bit in my mouth there. So I'm busy explaining the reason why my kid is behaving in a, shall we call it, creative fashion, and I'm met with, but they don't look disabled. What do you honestly expect me to say to that? Oh my goodness, you're right, how insightful. Clearly you can tell by looking. Why did I not realise that? I mean, what do they want? Should I try and make it clearer so they feel more comfortable? Perhaps my kid should wear a special badge. Maybe a neat little black triangle, but I'm fairly sure someone else had that idea and it was not well received. I know, I'll just put a big bell around her neck. Then you can be sure to see her coming and identify her in a crowd. Give me strength. Number two, strangers who think they have the right to comment on my family, my kid, and my parenting. This happens all the time. I don't know how many of you have witnessed what's often referred to as a meltdown. Now, it might look like the mother of all tantrums, and sometimes, don't get me wrong, it starts that way. But because with some kids like ours, the world can be an overwhelmingly alarming, catastrophic labyrinth to navigate, and sometimes whatever you try and do for your child, it's too much.
They scream, they fall and flail and kick. And when this happens, just so you know, it's not a spectator sport. It's not your job to wade in and start questioning my parenting and trying to negotiate with my child. Trust me, the window for negotiation has closed, and I'm just interested in keeping her safe. So walk on past or ask if you can help. Don't stand or tut or comment, because then you can expect the sharp end of my tongue. One delightful old crone helpfully approached me, shouting, "What's wrong with her? What's wrong with her?" And I said, "She's got brain damage. What's your excuse?" And number one, and wow, people who say this deserve a special seat on Satan's bus reserved especially for them. God only gives special children to special parents. So, Lauren, how does it feel knowing that God doesn't think that you are special? So, I can't tell you that it's not frustrating or that the systems are perfect and everything is rosy for families like mine, because it's not. We still have so far to go. But don't underestimate the power of a pissed off mother fighting for the right of their child. We are fierce. We are not to be pitied, we're to be feared. And as I think back to Judy and her fight for the rights of children like ours, I reach out and I can hold her guiding hand and I feel a little steadier, a little stronger, and I know that I am not standing up here alone.
You've been listening to Forgotten Women, a podcast about the women history has pushed to the margin.
It was written by Nina Lemon and directed by Rebecca Alloway.
Green Class was a tribute to the MenCap founder, Judy Frid, and we'd like to thank Judy's daughter, Linda, and granddaughter, Ellie, for sharing their memories of Judy.
Finally, we'd like to dedicate the podcast to the real mums of Green Class, Sarah, Tasha, Charmaine Lee, Carrie, Rachel, Kira, and Sam. You are an inspiration.
Green Class was written by Nina Lemon. This episode was directed and produced by me, Rebecca Alloway. Original music composed by Ellie Shaw and Liam Beard. The comedian was played by Nancy Hannigan. The narrators were played by Saoirse Doyle, Joshua Moore and Nancy Hannigan. Jess was played by Abby Wilkinson. Beth was played by Eleanor Stock. Jane was played by Rosanna Weber. Katie was played by Casey Smith. Judy Frid was played by Ellie Short. John Frid was played by Felix Borenze. The Doctor was played by Liam Beard. Felicity was played by Emma Selwyn. Mrs. Hawthorne was played by Saoirse Doyle. Felicity's opera was sung by Charlotte Rowling. And Alderman Dingley was played by William Meek. Special thanks to Access All Areas, the Orpheus Centre, Tricia Hitchcock, Rosemary Rowling and MenCap. This podcast is funded by the Heritage Lottery Fund and Arts Council England. If you enjoyed the podcast, we would really love it if you could rate, review and subscribe. And hey, maybe even tell some of your friends about our podcast. If you or a loved one has a learning disability and is in need of some advice or support, you can contact MenCap's Learning Disability Helpline. Their helpline is completely free and it's run by experienced advisors. You can call the helpline on 0808 808 1111 or by email at helpline@mencap.org.uk. You can also join MenCap's online community, Family Hub, to connect with other family members or carers of someone with a learning disability. Here you can share triumphs, challenges and tips and advice with other families. Visit www.mencap.org.uk/familyhub for further details. Oh, I'll be there.